Jim tried it, Chuck tried it.
Frank had the magic touch.
He's got an electrical engineering degree.
Yeah, there you go.
Road and Bridge. We're on, I guess.
All right, call our meeting to order. All commissioners present. We've got Eddie Coxey, Frank Preston, Mark Blackwell, Joe Tarvin, and Larry.
Gregory.
I'd like to start by making a motion to suspend Robert's rules. We don't need those in this meeting, do we? Or do you want to run by Robert's rules on this?
I don't know what we're going to do at that.
I mean, addressing the chair type of thing.
From that aspect, we can. I'd rather not second that, just because I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, we'll move on. Joe Tarvin has asked to speak to us, so we'll give him first shot, and then we'll go in. You guys welcome to sit over here at the table, or anybody wanting to speak, be sure and come to the mic whenever during the meeting.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys. I wanted to try to give a little more background on what we have done to hopefully give you guys a better understanding of the approach and why we did what we, or why we suggested what we suggested to you guys in the beginning. Our approach to this was to not start with a blank sheet of paper to draft your regulations, but to capitalize on regulations that had already been formally adopted by other counties in Missouri. And the reason we chose Missouri counties only was because we thought that there would be a better chance that all the language would meet state law in Missouri. So the approach that we suggested and what you guys agreed to was that we would choose up to four counties in southwest Missouri to use as a basis to compile zoning regulations for Taney County. We chose three counties, and we emailed those to you guys to see if you wanted any changes. And Mr. Strafus responded, and we changed one of the counties to one that he wanted us to use. We then took the language that had been formally adopted by those counties, and we compiled what we thought was the best parts of each of those. And at the same time, we incorporated some of Taney County's regulations into that. Now, I think the last time we met, the term cut and paste was thrown out, and I want you guys to understand that this was not a cut and paste. This 92-page document that we've provided has almost one man-hour of Larry's time per page. Our fee to do this was $3,350. We have over $8,000 in Larry's time alone in this so far, just to compile it. That does not include any of the time that I have put into it. It does not include any of the meetings that we've been to. Now, we did not think that that draft document would be exactly what Taney County needed, but we felt like it was a sound basis for a beginning. Rather than start with a blank sheet of paper, we had something that has been formally adopted by a county. There's not one word in that document that has not been formally adopted by a county in Missouri already. The reason I cannot take the word draft off of it and put the word final on that is because I do not know what you want it to say. I don't know what Commissioner Strahan wants it to say. I don't know what Commissioner Pennell wants it to say, or Commissioner Strafus, or the Planning and Zoning Board. And it could be that each would have a different thing that they would want it to say. I don't know what you wanted to say. I still believe that this was a sound way to begin on it. So, I wanted to say those things so that you'd understand why we suggested that we do it this way. And let me say one more thing that I think maybe is a misconception, the idea that there are restrictions on numbers of animals in agriculture is not true. There are no restrictions in this document on number of animals for agricultural designations. It's only agricultural residential. Agricultural residential is small tracts between 2 and 10 acres that could be located adjacent to residential subdivisions, and those are the only areas that have any numbers of animals in this document. Now, other counties in Missouri have chosen to restrict that. You may not want to do that. We can take it out. But as far as farming operations go, there are no restrictions in this document for numbers of animals. It's only in the very small 2 to 10 acre tracts that would be, let's say that I wanted to buy 5 acres and build a home on it. That to me is a totally different deal than a family farm that could be anything bigger than 10 acres. And whether you choose to restrict animals on those small tracts next to subdivisions, that's up to you. The only reason it's in there is because other counties had chosen to do that, and we put it in there in the event that you wanted to. But if you don't want that in there, that can be taken out. What we have is a 92-page document that we believe is a sound basis. We never expected it to be totally adopted as it was, but the idea of having something to use to go in and make whatever changes you want made was the approach. And we believe that that was the least expensive way for Taney County to do this, rather than spend months coming up with a document on your own. I just wanted you guys to understand that.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, I would like the commission, each of us, to share what direction you think we ought to have today. Would you mind starting, Jim?
Sure.
What's your thought of what we're going to try to do this morning, or how would you like to see us go?
The looking through, we're going to refer back to phase three, which was Joe was talking about. It looks like there's multiple steps within phase three that we have to accomplish in order to get an ultimate goal together. That all won't happen today, and I'm aware of that. But my hope was to get to the first step, which was to identify the districts of what or how many districts, and actually spend a little time defining each district that we see that we need at this stage. Now, my thinking is that I've spent some time with Eddie, so he knows my thoughts, and we've kind of role-played back and forth, deviled advocate, so he can tell me why my thinking was wrong or right, or and vice versa. So we spent some time together. So we address, I think at this point, the bare minimum, but leave room for expansion or more clearer definition as we grow into it, our county grows, or if we want to start defining more areas depending on what part of the county it is. So trying to keep some flexibility and keeping all citizens their position and their wishes intact, but trying to create some sort of structure so that we have the districts established, so then we can go to step two, which is then which is not today, work on the language for each district. So what are we trying to do with that district? That applies to Taney County. I appreciate what Joe has provided, but once again, every county is unique, and one thing I didn't realize was each county is very, very unique. You know, we have a very, very, very economic diverse west side and an agricultural industry that we've got to protect over on the east side. And so making sure we establish the districts, but not too specific at this point. I'd like to start with less districts, cover what we need, and then as the P&Z starts, and it's going to be a work in progress because we're changing so many things, that I'd hope that we start with a few districts, work on that today, and then a future meeting work on start defining each district with great detail so that we can kind of take what we're using now and apply it to what we're trying to get to. So my hope is work on districts.
How about, can I ask a question? Where would you like to start? Agriculture, residential, commercial?
Oh, I would just start with agriculture. Okay. I mean, we can go, I mean, I've got, Eddie, I don't know if you've got them all right
there.
Yes,
sir, I've got a package for everybody.
I mean, there's, we can start with agriculture. There's going to be districts in agriculture, residential, commercial, industrial, and then, but from my perspective is I want to focus, no matter what the document, what all the details in here, I would like to just stay focused to the districts. And we can start with agriculture is fine. So we've basically 60% of the counties that way.
Sounds good. Danny, what would you like? How would you like to go about this meeting starting out?
Well, I have to maybe just, I'm not going to disagree or argue points, but to me, a 92-page document concerning planning and zoning in the people that I represent, and however you want to try to call it districts or whatever, it's just not feasible. I don't think, I think the cities themselves have taken on economic direction to try to establish the different zones that they want to accomplish. The small towns that we have on the eastern side, I don't see that this is a big measurement for them. I go back to the thought of Springfield when they tried to take in the family farm from the family that lived there to move it into a commercial district, and had the uprising, and I think that's an established court case now that they couldn't do so. So my participation in this will be strictly to listen and see what you guys have to propose. I'm not going to be in favor of planning and zoning. A lot of the areas in eastern Taney County.
Okay. So as far as direction of the meeting, I'm hearing you say you want to listen at this point.
I'm going to listen and see what you boys have to say. If I have any input, I'll ask for a voice to the chair and okay. Go on.
Okay. I'm following you, Jim. I've looked some at the document that Eddie and you, I guess, have been looking at as well. I've spent a whole lot of time with it, but I'm of the same mind. We need to try to nail those down. That's kind of what we talked about, I think, the other day. But before we just started running this morning, I thought we ought to try to have a focus a little bit. So, all right. Eddie, you want to explain what you've given us here?
Yes, sir. As we get started, let me remind you that our current code book is 111 pages. That includes revisions, instructions, some state statutes, things like that. I don't think we're going to add another 92 pages to it. I think part of what was in the document that Aegis has done was incorporating some of our existing rules and regulations that we live by, and also it was going to eliminate a lot of pages, if I'm not mistaken, by Right now we have a section for the eastern side of the county, relative policies, and a side for the western, and those would go away, and it would be one unless we choose to do something different there. I don't know that our book will get a whole lot thicker, probably some, but right now it does sit at 111 pages. That's kind of what we're dealing with on a daily basis. I gave you in your packet that I've given you, the very first page there I pulled right out of our code book, because I did want you to be aware that in our code book, it states that this was all set up, under the, title page 5 of 111 under purpose, and it says, while planning and zoning was set up in Taney County, and I'm not going to go through all that all, but it deals with the health, the safety, convenience, prosperity, the ability of the county to direct where their funds are being spent to get the most efficient use of their dollars as they develop infrastructure and things like that. Just as we go through our day-to-day processes, we look at these and realize that that's what this is there for. It's not there for what I want or for what Frank wants or anybody in my office wants. It's there for the betterment of Taney County, and that's what we hope to achieve as we go through what we're doing here. On the next page under that, we have some general questions. I think one of the issues trying to do anything like this is to know exactly where we're trying to head, what we're trying to accomplish. When we're all done, we can look back and say, okay, this is what we set out to get, and this is what we have. We have some questions on there. We can go through those a little bit. But then on the very last packet there are some proposed districts set with Mr. Strophas, and we went over, yes, we can add a whole bunch. We could take some away. I can argue for 5 or 6 different agricultural districts, and if we get too tied up in things like that as we go, you'll find, like we found in our subcommittees and everything, you get nowhere. I've spent time with Christian County, I've spent time with Stone County, and their advice to me is keep it as simple as you can to start with. Do what your basic needs are, and then move on. You can always add to it if you need to. You can take away, but it does cause issues both ways. So that's kind of what's in your packet there. In the packets, we have kind of given you a basic definition. We can elaborate on these and everything. But if you're going to have a district, you need to define the district, why it's different from another district. If you're going to have two agriculturals, what makes them different? And what are you going to allow in those districts? If it's different because of permitted uses, conditional uses, whatever the case might be. That's kind of where we need to head and see, where we want to go. I think I've sent this to, or most of you have this, or have had the opportunity to look at it at least a little bit. Kind of where we are, but I think we just need to, as you've tried to do there, Mr. Pendleton, we need to have some clear understanding and what districts that we want, and then what do you want to affect in those districts. So it's kind of where we are.
So
also have some maps for you if you'd like to look at those real quick. I had the IS department create for me a map based on current assessment, and what this map does is the assessor goes to the county. He assesses in 3 categories. There'd be agricultural, residential, and commercial. We also have exempt properties, state forests, things like that. And we had the IS department look at each parcel and query the database to say, if this parcel has any commercial on it, where it's being assessed commercial, tag that parcel as commercial. And so it may be a 100-acre parcel, and it would show up as that color for commercial. I'll put those up on the wall for you here in just a second. But that map is just basically what you would say what the general use is as the county assessor sees it right now. Yes, sir.
Could we, instead of going to the map and getting a lot of distractions right now, can we help define an agricultural plot if it's 5 acres versus 15 acres. I mean, we had some discussion about, there were some areas in the county when Eddie and I were talking that some people call it an agricultural plot, but agriculture is supposed to be a farming operation. Well, we know that most likely you can't farm on a 5 acre tract, and therefore it probably shouldn't be an agricultural plot. And I think we came up with a number of, what, Eddie, 10 acres?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
So what we try to do is start defining what we, and I'm speaking specifically agriculture. Agriculture, obviously, is set up as a, you know, assessment values and all that, but it's also what is the primary use. So going back and forth and not trying to be out of line with what we've done in the past, try to establish a breakpoint where if you are an operation with a residence, make sure I'm right, a residence has to be 10 acres or larger for it to be agricultural zoning.
That's what we discussed.
That's what we discussed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'd like to kind of just talk about agriculture first if we want to start in that world. And then
Eddie and I, he had shared what y'all visited with me when he and I visited a few minutes, and I think that's a good spot. Because I don't see it the same as you, and I imagine Daniel, we may have three different
right
outlooks here, and we may have to struggle to get to the end, but we need to do that. So I think that's a good one to start on.
I mean, that's probably the most sensitive one we've got. Yep. I'm being real honest here. I think we're going to probably agree a lot on this commercial, industrial, the O district. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory once we explain it, but I think agriculture is going to be the most...
That's what we found in our subcommittees, that we couldn't get past agriculture.
Right.
Let me try something easy to start with. You got a piece of ground. Let's say you own 5 acres. It's not in a subdivision. Mm-hmm. You got 5 acres on 160 somewhere. Oh, thank you, Bob. Does anybody know how the assessor classifies that? Is that agriculture? Is it residential?
There's a specific statute, and I can go find it if you want, that says that you do not assess something based upon its zoning classification. That's not the sole determination. You have to take into consideration other things. There's a specific statute on it, and I can find it.
Right. Okay. So let me ask a different question then. If that's that, then if we've got a 5 acre tract of land, or let's say bigger than 2 acre tract of land, let me start over. Let's say if we got 2 acres or more that's not in a platted subdivision, is that going to be agriculture or is that going to be residential?
Under my definition,
yes.
If it's less than 10 acres, it would be considered an R1.
Okay.
Because it is not 10 acres, so most likely it's not a farming operation. So I would classify it as a residential parcel. That's how I would classify it.
Okay.
Unless the neighboring properties were all commercial, I would then maybe look at, if it's along 160, it may be a commercial zoning.
Okay.
It can still be used for agricultural, and it may still be assessed agricultural if that's what it's used for.
Correct.
I think right now, and I don't want to speak for James Strahan, but in talking with him, he has some different criteria that he uses. I think he said something around 8 different categories in agriculture to say, you know, when he goes out and sees a property to assess it, and again, assessment, the way it's assessed and the way it's zoned are not the same thing. Right now we're kind of using that a little bit, but he would look at it and to determine, is this being used as full-blown agriculture? Are they raising crops, you know, animals, things like that? If so, he would assign to them one of the lower designations in that range that he's got. If he's got somebody that's living in the country, maybe not even gardening or anything like that, I think he takes them up to the higher end right now of agriculture, if I'm not mistaken. But he still sees it as agricultural if there's not, I think if they're not in a subdivision or unless something else would indicate to him this is no longer agriculture.
different people take different points of view. Different assessors take different point of view on what's agricultural and what's not. Some use it as a catch-all. If it's not residential and it's not commercial, then it must be agricultural. And others actually require that it be used for agricultural operations. And then you get into vague areas, what's agricultural and what's not. So assessors take different approaches on determining whether something's agricultural or not.
So, Eddie, back to you. So what did I hear you saying that you believe, James, that my the lot I'm talking about, do you know if he would, what's your guess, would it be agriculture or residential?
If it's just sitting out like that, I would say it would be agriculture.
Okay.
And regardless of the size of it, he would be based more on kind of what's around it. And unless there's actually a residential structure built on it that's consuming that piece of property.
Right. Now, if there's a resident, that's...
Right, but if it's laying bare, I think he would probably assess that as agricultural. It doesn't mean that you have to zone it that way.
Okay. Well, I heard what Bob said, I think, that that's two different things. But in this case, I'm different from Jim here. I'm thinking that two acres or more of vacant land would be agriculture. Opinion, Danny?
Yes, I have opinion on that. I know of actual platted subdivisions that have at least two to three crops of hay that's cut off of them that are round baled every year. You can find that throughout the county, depending on where the location is, whether they do two, three, or whatever crops of hay every year off of, you know, 2 to 5 acre tracts. I'm in the same opinion that you are. I know that anytime I think a better way to address those is in, and we're talking outside of a restricted subdivision area where there's 5 acre tracts. There's all kinds of equestrian tracts that are laid out in Taney County. The rural electric companies have miles of underground service in rural areas in Taney County. So I feel the same way. I feel like anything that doesn't have a residence that exists over, I think we have to, and I think that's what became the stumbling block, I mean, with planning and zoning and with planning and zoning, your subcommittees. It's going to be a stumbling block with the commission. It's what we're here to talk about. But I'm of the opinion that anything that people have agricultural use of is agricultural.
So for right now, can we say, sounds like you're beat on this one, Jim, can we say for now, before we hammer out details, before we get too detailed, if it's 2 acres or more, vacant land, we're going to look at it as agriculture.
I'd like to have one more comment about
that. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm a subdivision owner.
Mm-hmm.
I have sewer system. My lots are 2.1 acres. My covenant strictly restricts agricultural use. Strictly. Okay. It is a residential subdivision. Okay. It was subdivided for residents. That's the purpose of it. Therefore, it should be residential. And to say... I wouldn't be confused of how James is assessing versus what the use is. The subdivision was created for residential. Just because they haven't sold the residential lots doesn't mean it switches the use of that property. It's still a residential subdivision.
If you had a 40-acre lot and you divided it into 22-acre lots and you started developing it and you put houses on 10 or 20 of those units, you'd still have 10 or 20 more 2-acre units that have covenants and restrictions, right, restricting agriculture.
The zoning has nothing to do with the assessment process. It is separate animals. And so just because they're using it for agriculture doesn't mean the purpose was for agriculture. The purpose was for residential. And what I fear that if our thinking's that way, you're going to have a lot of people out there creating subdivisions, hoping to sell two-acre lots, and when they can't sell them, they put a park a tractor on it, put some bales of hay, and say it's agriculture, zone me agriculture, because that's what the assessor does. That's not the use of it, because what we're trying to also do through this whole process, I want to make sure we're protecting property values. And a property value, if it's a subdivision, okay, it should be zoned residential. And so the process is, you're going to buy a piece of land that's agriculturally zoned, and you're going to have to go through a bunch of hoops just to say, I can put a house there. So I want to make sure that we think about, there's two separate processes. No matter what James does, that really shouldn't take into effect what we do. Because one thing that I hear a lot of criticism on, not just in Taney County, not just in Stone County, is the type of zoning we have. And the problems that we have experienced, such as, and I'll bring up the Fall Creek Road subdivision. It is clearly, the way it looks, it shouldn't all be residential. But yet, because he doesn't renew his contract every year, the zoning could change. And that's not how zoning is supposed to work. It's supposed to be, once it's been zoned a certain way, it should maintain that zoning until they go through the process to change it. Not just because of an arbitrary date on the calendar should the zoning type change.
And that's an argument that legally it can't change. So
okay.
Once it's zoned, it's zoned.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
No, hang on just a second. We've got 8:30 for agenda. Do you know, was Nikki going to bring those down and us vote on them?
She's coming. That sounds like.
I hear somebody on.
Jillian or.
There's Nikki right there.
But she's good, huh? All right, let's suspend our P&Z and for just a moment, and we'll vote on this. Apologize for the interruption. This is a weekly thing. Danny there, the truth and honesty. Were you done with that? Or do you want that back on there?
No, I was done with my discussion about it.
Okay. As far as you're concerned, no need of having it on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Let's mark that one off, please.
Okay. Newspaper bid, what's that?
That's me. I'd like to visit about how that bid process went and our bidding policy.
Okay. Is that something we want to do with Linda in her normal session, which is, 30 minutes later? Or do you want to do it?
I'd like to have it on the regular agenda.
Okay.
The ballot issue. Has anybody worked? Did you get a hold of the people, or where are we at on that?
I got a hold of Pat Dooley, and she brought me some paperwork.
Okay.
And I have the certified petition from Donna's office.
Okay.
I mean,
we need to have that on the ballot, I mean, on the agenda to discuss the ballot language.
Yeah, that's the next step, is the ballot language.
However
we do it, if it's in this session or a different session, we've got to have ballot language discussions, and it's got to be in the next couple of days. So,
the first part of the petition I wrote up out of the statute book for the ballot language.
Okay.
So is that good, y'all? Good on that? Have that on there? We need to do it?
Yep, that's fine.
Open for everybody to have an opportunity.
Okay. State and county budget, that's something I put on there just because the session's over. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
State audit?
Bob Shands.
And then Nashville?
That's me following up on a public comment.
Okay. I'm fine.
You might, if you don't mind, add Nashville request. Put request on that because I'm addressing the request he made to us.
Any comments?
That's fine. I've got a lot of comments, but I'm not. That's just.
All right. I'll move that we adopt the notice of open the agenda for the 9 o'clock, excluding truth, honesty, and the conduct of elected officials. So everything but that.
That's fine with me.
Second discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you, Nikki. All right. Again, apologize for interruption there. We're good to go.
Can I visit with you just a little bit about the 2-acre deal?
Let's go.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, in the economic times that we've got and what we see in Springfield, the city, which Green County is mainly taken up by the city, we see all kinds of agricultural gardens, truck patches. They're promoting farmers markets in Springfield, in Green County. They have at least established 3 locations where they want to move that into their county to try to help with everybody's economic situation. So I think the 2-acre deal is fine. I think it's something that even we kind of got off base there with the hay, because that's one of them that you see constantly is somebody cutting hay on a tract of land and moving the hay over and setting it. But there's consistently more truck patches being put in Taney County. Matter of fact, there's one big farm that's being used now that was never used for anything resembling that, but it's the whole thing's been turned into a truck patch. And so gardening and things like that on a 2-acre tract, as far as I'm concerned, that's agricultural.
Let me, and I have a comment, sir, if I can.
Let me mix maybe what we're talking about. My conversation was not a platted subdivision. Mm-hmm. You got a good point, Jim, on a platted subdivision. That probably should be residential. The problem is, and to what I heard Danny saying, what I'm thinking is, I can think of one site in Power Site. It's a platted subdivision, I believe. It's been nothing but farm, never will be anything but farm. It should be changed. I don't know how that happened. But for them to be taxed as residential is not right. But what's been said this morning is that's an assessment issue. It could be, district could be a residential district, mm-hmm. if it's platted. So I'm going to suggest that we look at a non-platted, which is where I started, tract of 2 acres or more would be a district in the agriculture district. But when it's a platted lot, subdivision, it's going to be a residential. I'm scared to ask Eddie what he thinks, but I will.
I don't want to say too much, gentlemen, because everybody's got an example, and this is where we get tied up in doing things. I'm going to reference you to an area right over here off of Highway 76 that's been annexed into the city of Forsyth recently. A subdivision of full 5-acre tracts. There's a total of 6 homes in all 3 phases of that subdivision. The way our code book is right now, their streets are in, the electricity is in, sewer and water will be handled by the individual property owner. I don't believe those get assessed. I mean, and this may be a stumbling point here. It is clearly platted residential subdivision. That's what it is. There's people that cut hay in there. And it looks like one big field, but it's actually several different lots that are platted. So they're using it as agricultural. But I believe until the actual structure is built on the property, their taxes aren't going to change. Whoever owns that lot.
You're talking assessment.
I'm talking assessment. That's what I'm saying. So, but it is platted as residential.
Which would relieve my concern and probably.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is, because you zone it a certain way, doesn't necessarily mean that the assessor is going to assess it at that value. Now, if that's where you're headed,
that's not where I'm headed.
No.
I don't want to go
no.
there. If it's being used for agriculture, it ought to be.
No, until it's actually developed. Now, if it's a smaller subdivision and they've had to put in the water and the sewer and everything like that and it's sitting there, you may have a different opinion. But right now, and I believe until the structure is actually placed on the property, that it doesn't change. He doesn't change his assessment of it.
But again, we need to keep our focus
on
a zoning district and not the assessment.
Right. Yeah, I just didn't want you to get hung up on thinking that maybe this individual is going to cost him more money just because we changed the designation of it, is what I'm saying.
And that's one thing.
Mr. Paulson, speak up.
I was just going to say cumulative zoning. I just want to explain. Agricultural can only be used for agricultural. Residential can be used for agricultural and residential. Commercial can be used for agricultural, residential, and commercial. And then industrial, you'd be able to use all the three below it as well as industrial. It's a cumulative thing. I just wanted to explain that.
So why are you throwing that in, though? You got a reason.
I can probably have the reason. If it's residential, they still can do agricultural on it. If the covenants require it, because it's downward compatible. If you're R1, okay, for example, and you want to bale hay on your 2-acre lot that's next 160 but not in a subdivision, you can do that because it's already got, it's got agriculture plus residential zoning. So you can do anything in both zones, both districts, not just one or the other. What I fear is this going to happen is, how zoning is supposed to work is when you sell a piece of property, let's just talk about transactions here. You say you advertise a piece of property, a 2-acre property on the corner of 160. Most people in other counties, and I'm very familiar with Arkansas, but some counties in Missouri, you say what it's zoned. Okay? You say it's zone R1 or C1. That means the planning and zoning has gone through the process to say that is the best use, that's consistent with neighboring uses. We know that ultimately that needs to be a commercial plot. My concern is if we start saying 2-acre lots and start doing it that way from agriculture, the values of property are going to go down, okay? Or you're going to see a lot of sales slow down because they're going to have to go through the process, mm-hmm. and P&Z is going to get slammed with a bunch of requests for change of zone.
Let me argue that with
sure.
you. We have no zones now.
That's
and,
right.
And what you're saying, what you're concerned about, hasn't happened, has it?
Oh yeah. Well, I hear it from the real estate people all the time. They say, "Oh, you can put a commercial building on that property."
Right.
They do P&Z, and they don't get it approved because they don't have any zoning with that property.
But we're talking about having districts for commercial and residential.
Right.
I don't.
I guess what I'm saying is, if we make it a 2-acre plot so small, a plot that small makes a lot of. Creates a lot more agricultural zones, I think, in the county.
But what we're hearing is the assessor's probably, an assessment is not doing that, and if they want to turn it into commercial, they'll be in the same process they are today. They'll have to come before P&Z to make it commercial. And I think that's a good thing because you got a 2-acre parcel here and there's whatever around it. I think those people around it ought to have the opportunity to come to the commission before it gets changed.
Well,
you know, we've got these areas all over the county, especially east, where we've got a business here and then we've got residential here.
No, I understand. I think that what you're going to create is a lot of business and a lot of applications for planning zoning. Because when I think agriculture, I don't think a 2-acre plot. I think agriculture is a farming area. And you know.
But again, that's what we've got now. And even when we were booming, I mean, we weren't slammed. I mean, there was times we spent a lot. Right. We had some late nights at P&Z, but that was when booming, and it was subdivisions and those kind
well,
of things.
Well, and, you know, I'm not, the thing is, this is not the end-all, be-all of the application process. What I'm just trying to get to is there's going to be, I think, a higher number of applications. People are going to start saying, I don't want this to be agriculture. It's worth more if it's commercial. And you're going to start seeing, especially all the property that's for sale, I see all those owners coming in for an application.
Yes, they'll come in and say, I'd like to change this to this.
I'd like to go through
with,
my zoning.
They have to present a use that they don't have to build it to get
correct.
That. But do be aware, right now under our code book, I can go anywhere in the county and I can create a 2-acre lot for residential. Even if I've got a 100-acre farm, I can put a house on it. If I want to put a second, I can actually put two structures on that for residential. But then if I decide I need a third one, I can cut out a 2-acre lot as long as it meets certain requirements and I can put another residence on that. So, 2 acres, is there because of the, wastewater issue. And that's kind of why we regulate that at 2 acres. But right now, if you've got 1,000 acres and you've got 2 residential structures on that, that's all we'll permit until you split the property. But you can cut out another 2 acres, and we'll let you do that one time. Now, after that, you have to come before our board to split it anymore. But, you know, so be aware that's, and these are part of the rules that will be incorporated into what you're doing. So, again, we don't want to get hung up on the fact that the way it's assessed and what you want to call it and how you want to zone it, that, you know, doesn't, they don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Okay. Mark?
I want to agree with Jim on this. Now, he was bringing it up from what the real estate agents are saying to him. The part that I want to bring up is that it's about 4.5 years ago that we were looking at property, and my mom and myself, we have 3 mini storages out in Colorado. That's where our main income comes from. When those 3 mini storages were bought over the years, my mom's had them for about 18 years. She's more than doubled, almost probably tripled them in size. So when the when I came up here, I had already looked at the internet at properties, mainly vacant. So we were looking to build mini storages in the area, somewhere in the county. We were also looking over at Stone County too. The problem that my mom had with building a mini storage here is that there wasn't commercial districts. Where our property is in Colorado, it's a commercial district. And so her problem was, is here we are, we're going to go in, we're going to buy the land, we're going to develop, or we're going to build a mini storage here. Well, then anybody else is open to do it. There's no district where that can be done. So whatever was beside that property or whatever, or close to the area, you know, if they want to put in 5 units, they could do that. They could have it for whatever price, things like that. So I know and are looking for commercial property that was the stopping point why we didn't decide to go with mini storages here.
Okay. So
I'm bringing it up from the potential of investors coming in to buy into the property. Yes, or buy into the county. Yes, we did end up buying in the marina and property in Rockaway, but our first thing that we were looking at was definitely land to build mini storages.
So to that point, we're still on agriculture, and we're going to get to commercial maybe someday. But who knows? A little humor
there.
You
know, I put 2 hours just for this discussion today.
But let's assume that we get to commercial someday, and we identify commercial districts, and then we go to the place of future type planning, then there's property, and I don't want to go there where that property is, but let's say there's properties out there that would make a mini storage. We could zone it commercial to do what you're saying, Jim, and Mark's bringing up. But to start with, in trying to get this ball rolling, if let's start with agriculture, and then as we take other steps, we can plug in residential, we can plug in commercial, we can plug in industrial, and zone those districts. And the people would know, as Mark said, which is a good point, that they can go in there and they can build their mini storage or their convenience store or whatever without having to go through zoning. I realize that is a positive. It's a little big change for us, but it's a positive thing. But that's down the road from where we are today, I think. Yes, Bob.
I don't understand why there's a problem with whether it's residential or agricultural unless you're going to limit agricultural operations in residential areas and not allow the covenants and restrictions to take care of it. If that's what you're going to do, then you have a debate. But if you don't have that, it doesn't matter whether you call it residential or agricultural if it's not limiting what they can use it for.
On the back of your packet.
We have to identify it one or the other.
You've got to define it, and you need to have your list of permitted and conditional uses. So right by ownership. If I buy this piece of property, what can I do with it without having to worry about it? I bought it. It's mine. Here's what the county says I can do.
Well, let me go a step further from the commercial then. Let's start with the agriculture, and then if there's properties that is clear as a bell that it's residential, then we'll name them R1, 2, or 3.
Frank, if I can make one more statement for you. I hate to stir the pot like this, gentlemen, but unfortunately in Taney County, we leave declarations for subdivisions up to the developer. And there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily addressed or aren't addressed correctly. And I can quote you a subdivision right now where the people don't even own their sewer system or their water system because of the way the declarations were written. And if the bank that has now taken that decides, they're going to be in a court battle just to make sure that they have proper facilities. But when it was all set up and going, it looked fine. The declarations were filed, but they did not protect the homeowners in any way. So as we go through this process, that's something that we're going to have to consider. Do we want to be completely hands-off? Do we want to start making sure that these declarations are written in a better way? It's not our job to do that at this point. But in the very first page that I gave you, as far as planning and zoning is concerned, it appears that safety, welfare, property values, and everything are part of the consideration of the Planning and Zoning Department. And the reason that this book exists is to help to make sure that the constituents of Taney County have a reasonable degree of protection in that area. So keep that in mind.
Mr. Preston, sir.
Today's a great example of how we got hung up in our work discussion meetings because we're just trying to talk about agricultural and we veer off into other things and talk about other things. So the process will be long, and we'll have to endure a lot of these types of discussions. What I wanted to discuss was I've lived in places where there were RA, residential agriculture, and or AR, agricultural residential, where typically somewhere in, like Mr. Strafus is stating, 2 to 10 acre plots, it could be a mini pony horse ranch. It could be into organic farming or something, or specializing in a vegetable of one type or another. It really sounds like what we're talking about is what is its current use today? And by definition, when we talk about what's going on, we're looking at what it's being used for. So I can see a large residential neighborhood that's strictly residential, 2 to 10 acres, but then also there's people that want to buy a mini ranch or a ranchette that'd like to have little ponies, so that could be residential agricultural. So I see when we talk about different districts, what is the actual use or the intended use of that district, and that should help us define where we're headed.
Okay, I want to go back to my thought was we're trying to establish districts, and I'm just saying that agriculture is 2 acres or more of vacant land. Period. And let's go on.
But you're
can't do that.
You can't say vacant land, because if I have a 100-acre farm and I've got a house on it, does it cease to be agricultural?
And if I've got a 10-acre lot, you're telling me I can't do residential on it unless I come in and get a zoning change.
Wait a minute. You're confusing me here. I said vacant land, but then you said I've got 100 acres with a house on it. That's not vacant
because
land.
Because that's my farmhouse.
I know, but that's not vacant land. I'm talking about vacant land.
I've got 10 acres or 100 acres that is vacant.
And go ahead and finish that discussion.
Well, what I'm saying is,
but before you finish, you're adding to. I'm just talking about vacant land. Period. Okay. Go ahead.
No. What I'm saying is, we would take a parcel number. I think right now, I hate to try and define the way Mr. Strahan does assessment. And this is separate from that, but right now, a parcel number, and then that parcel number is assessed. And it has the three lines underneath it that says agricultural, residential, commercial.
Correct.
Everything on that parcel number. Sometimes you'll see a thing that says business in the home, but you won't see anything that changes on the bottom there. What I'm saying is, just because it might have a structure on it, the word I was keying on the word vacant, because it's got a structure on it, doesn't necessarily change anything, or doesn't have to change anything.
Okay.
Is where I'm headed. So I just wanted you to be careful with the word vacant, I guess, is what I'm saying. Because you could then, if you wrote something like that says it's got to be vacant land, and now I've got barns and stuff on it.
What I think I'm hearing is we're debating whether the point is what is how many acres is agriculture? Because I'm saying 2 acres or more is agriculture if it's vacant.
2 acres is the smallest lot that we'll create right now. So. That's a natural division, is what I'm saying.
So why don't we start there? And then that's the end of agriculture. Then we move on to whatever next district we want to face. I'm open for criticism. Bob?
Again, if you have a 10-acre lot and you want to develop that, and they call you agriculture, you're going to say, now I have to come in and get a rezoning and go through this process in order to be residential.
But Bob, I understand what you're saying. But if we got a 10, if we ever get through this and we start looking at the map and we got a 10-acre tract that makes sense, that it would be a residential piece of property, then we would not zone it agriculture. We'd zone it some residential. But what we're debating is, what is the acreage? And if we don't like 2 acres, then somebody say, is it 5? We've heard 10, and I think Danny and I don't agree with 10 acres being agriculture. And I started with 2.
My comment would be,
if we went to 10, would there be any argument here?
Well,
except from Danny and I.
Well, let me just put it this way. Let me ask you this way. The frame of thought that I had was, we are not going to individually assess and rezone every parcel. I mean, that's not the purpose. The purpose is, if it's no house on it, and it's 2 acres, and it's anywhere in the county, it will automatically get zoned agricultural. That it's just going to be if I'm understanding correctly, we've got 45,000 parcels. Under this definition, anything of vacant 2 acres or larger would all switch over to agriculture, or we call it A1. And if they want to change it, they would have to come to the zoning process.
Exactly.
Okay. People are not going to be faring their fair share of the taxes. I don't know why you have to define it.
Hang on.
We don't want to talk about assessed value.
We say we're not going to talk about assessed value, but we are going
to
talk about it.
Why would we have to talk about assessed value?
One way, it's not relevant. The reverse way, it is. Because if you say that it's agriculture, you're telling them they cannot build residential on there. So you can't assess them residential if we've told them by law you can't build a residence on there. It makes no difference the other way. It's not relevant. But if you go the other way, it is relevant. If you tell them they can't build a residence on there, you can't say they're residential. So therefore, people with 4 or 10 acre lots in the Branson area that want to develop it that isn't agricultural, you cannot assess them at a residential at 19%. You're going to have to assess them at 12%, even though there's no way that's a farm.
So from you bringing that up, I would assume that you're thinking that James has got those parcels assessed as residential now and not agriculture.
I would say that's correct.
Or a portion of it, yes, sir. My thinking would be, on any given parcel, even if it's zoned agricultural, we would allow one residence. Would you say no, you'd have to go through the...
I think the way our zoning system is set up right now, if you have agricultural, you could build a farmhouse and a barn on it. I mean, that's agricultural use.
But if you wanted to put multiple homes, more than one, then you would go through the process.
And even on an agricultural...
And is that not a good thing?
I'm just wanting to make sure that we're clear where we're headed. That's the way I would see it. If we say everything 2 acres with nothing on it is ag, yes, you can put a home on it. That's what we allow now. But if you want to split that up and put more than one home on it, you go through the process.
All right, let's...
Which would change the zoning of it.
Let's say that we didn't have this half-hour conversation and we had took the 10 acres. I didn't mean to be funny there. That's one of the funniest, probably. Let's say that we didn't have this discussion and we went for 10 acres was a... agriculture. That's what Jim and Eddie talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we said that, would we not still have had this last half-hour conversation?
Oh, I still think we could have it.
I think we could have a three-hour conversation.
So my point is, we need an A1, and are we going to, let me say it this way, are we going to have A1, do we need to have an acreage on it? Do we want it 2 acres? Do we not want to mention acreage at all as far as an A1? Maybe that's a way out of this.
May I take a stab at this? If it's agricultural and it's huge agricultural area, and it's not anticipated that any time in the near future that it will be used for a residential development, you definitely need to put A1 on it.
But what if there's a pull an eddy here? What if there's
a
house on
huge?
It?
Huge.
I'm just kidding.
Well, exactly. When you get into things like huge, you have to say.
Well, it's you would probably subjective. Go down to acres, and we'd still be right where we are.
You don't need to
let me read you
to define the size. When you zone an area, you don't need to define the size. It can differ from side of the county to side of the county what your standard is.
All right, if we buy what Bob just said, the discussion's over. We got A1, agriculture.
Okay.
And then we go on.
Let me read you something.
Here, let me ask make one comment then. We will then have to physically review each parcel.
Okay.
Which is 45,000 parcels, and we may all die very old men before we get through all of them. One time. So, I mean, we've got
so
to
So you're
do
arguing for acreages, then?
I'm saying if we don't do acreages, we are going to be here all day.
Okay.
Let me just read what we've got on this, and maybe you don't agree with this definition. On the agricultural page, we've just said agricultural districts are designed with the symbol are designated with the symbol A and are intended to provide open space for economic activities that require large tracts of land in one block. The A1 district is primarily intended to help retain large tracts of land for agricultural and economic activities that require large tracts of land in one block. The district is considered to be very low density. And again, part of the questions I gave you, do we probably want to define what we're doing with density levels? We had on here because of what Mr. Strauss and I discussed, very low density, one dwelling per 10 acres, with permitted and conditional uses, including animal production, crop production, horticulture, utility services, parks, schools, churches, and detached housing and then at the very back of your packet there's a list of what you would go through and mark for permitted and conditional uses that you would allow in agriculture. But basically you want anything that's going to be tracts of land that are, you know, larger than, you know, your single-family residential neighborhood or something like that, you'd want to retain as agricultural land with the possibility of being changed to something else if it needed to be.
But, you know, at this point, I'm going to ask one question, Eddie. If we said, let's just settle on 2 acre or larger, the worst-case scenario is we've increased the number of applications. Is that really the case? What's the worst-case scenario of this? Because I would agree with Chuck and Danny that we're going to have to, I think we all have to say it, an acreage, just so we can, because hopefully what our early on this stage, we were going to do existing use. Whatever it is now, we want to overlay with the new districts and not change anybody's life.
Correct.
Worst case scenario is you reduce the assessed value of huge portions of property, especially in the western part of the county.
But I got to argue that, dadgummit, we keep bringing up assessment. We're not going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it. And I know there's properties out there that have got a mobile home sitting on them, and they're still not assessed commercial. Yes, anybody falling off a rock would swear that it's a commercial piece of property, and we're going to talk all day about assessment instead of doing our district.
Mr. Chair, let me
yes, sir.
Give you a scenario. In BOE, we require appraisals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The appraisal is set up on how it's zoned, okay? If they're selling a parcel of land, we tell them, bring in an appraisal from a certified appraiser. They're going to tell us the value of the land, okay? If that appraiser comes in and says it is zoned agriculture, therefore it is worth $10,000 an acre, that's how we, in BOE process, we have put a value to a parcel is through an appraised price.
I disagree.
Okay.
We have a piece of property, and the assessor assesses it for what he believes the value is.
Okay.
And if the person, as you just described, comes and says that's not true, then he does what you said, and okay, he'll get an appraisal. The appraisal will be what they believe the value of that land is.
Based off of the allowed use.
Do I remember best and highest, or maybe that fits someplace else?
Yeah.
But the appraiser is going to come in, and he's going to look at that piece of land, and he's going to tell you what it's worth. If it happened to be a piece of property that has been surrounded by commercial development, still has a mobile home sitting on it and has a residential piece of property with a garden, he's going to assess that piece of property for its commercial value, not caring one whit what the assessment, whether it's agriculture. You don't think so?
They're going to zone it based off of the use of that zoning.
Not zoning. You were talking assessment. You were talking value right, through.
No, but if the land is zoned commercial, then it has a higher bunch of uses that are available to it without any complications, without the possibility of being told no.
Okay.
So they would compare it to other commercial properties that have sold in the area.
Only commercial.
They wouldn't compare it to raw land.
I mean,
they would say if it was just raw land here, but highest and best use of this property is commercial, and therefore commercial property is selling for this per acre, therefore this piece of property is worth this much money.
I buy that, except for the only devaluing of that property is to the commercial buyer is that they're going to have to go through planning and zoning. And if they see that there's motels and theaters and everywhere all around it, they've got a pretty good shot that they're going to get a commercial because that's what it is.
The question was asked, would this increase the amount of applications to us? Right now in Taney County, if you want to build anything that would be 100% agriculture related, a barn to store your hay or your tractors or anything like that, no permit necessary. People call us and we tell them that. If you want to put a residential structure on that, permit required, we grant it in the office. If you want to do anything else, if you want to sell feed out of the back of a trailer and have customers, you come through for a zoning change.
Yep.
Right now, our code book states that if you are doing any kind of commercial activity and you are on a septic system, or an area where a septic system is, or if you're doing any kind of residential structure that's on a septic system, you have to set aside 2 acres, regardless of the tract of land that you have. Minimum size is 2 acres for us to allow you to do a business out there. But it does require the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission before, you know, it's not something we can do administratively. So right now, anybody that's wanting to do anything in the county, even if they're on a piece of property that had a business and maybe they're going to go to a higher density business, they come back through our board. So I don't know that it would increase things a whole lot. I don't know that. But I do think, gentlemen, if we'll get back to this definition, agricultural is to help retain large tracts of land. Now, we're stumbling over the thing large, and I hate to tell you this, but perhaps you need a second, and you want to call it rural residential or something like that. I don't want to get into that. I really hate it and everything, but if we're going to stumble over that, you know, maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Well, we're stumbling over it, so I propose that we leave the A1. I'm sorry, Mark. We leave what you have presented. I guess Jim's helped you put this together. I'll go for it, and then I'll come right along behind with an A2.
Or an AR?
An AR or something. If we're going to move forward.
I'm just throwing that out as an option to you.
Yep.
But I know you've got, Mr. Paulson has definite opinions on this too. Would you find that an acceptable compromise? Or?
Yes, because the word is retain. If you want to retain large agricultural tracts, and you can define large as large as you want, but 2 acres is way too small, only agriculture can go there if you're using for a catch-all definition. And you know what residential is. If it's somewhere in between, you got to have both, or rural residential, or, you know, something that allows both.
Why would you want to do that? Can I have some input, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to retain large agricultural areas in the county if a person had the opportunity to come in and someone from out of state decided they wanted to develop a high-end home residential area, come in and do all that? Why would you want to retain large areas if that person was looking for, and this has happened to us because we had to assume that we were going to have to buy more acreage to suit this particular development that they wanted to bring in, which would increase the taxes on the property, which would benefit the citizens of Taney County. So why in the world would you want to restrict high agricultural?
I think areas? What we're saying, though, with agriculture is it would encourage the person to keep their tract of land intact and full and as an agricultural use, as opposed to chopping up into little things because of possibly his tax situation, whatever. But when the individual came in and wanted to buy a large tract of land to convert it to something else, that's there.
There is a reason for coming back through for a rezoning, and nobody would want to stand in the way of economic development. If a wonderful opportunity came in to bring in some wonderful development, you could come in and change it. Exactly. The reason for having a map is so that people, when they come in, can look and see what's available. And if what's available is not sufficient and they want something huge and want to take over an agricultural area and it makes sense, that would be a great reason to come in, and a good planning and zoning commission would say, this is a wonderful opportunity for the county economically, let's change the zoning.
But they could come in at that particular time if they know agricultural A1 is zoned 10 acres and above and I'm needing 15 acres, I can come in and just peruse those particular tracts and then see about having that changed if I would choose to do so.
Joe,
may I have
step in the water?
Just one thought. It seems that in many areas that whatever land is not zoned residential, commercial, or industrial is agricultural. The idea that, and I think the idea was that everything in the beginning was agricultural. And it was taken from agricultural and rezoned to something else. So perhaps you don't have to limit the size. You take the existing uses and the ones that are being used for residential is zoned residential. That the ones that are used for commercial are zoned commercial, the ones used for industrial are industrial, everything else is agricultural. And then if someone sees a piece of land that is agricultural, that is in a good spot for a commercial, then he comes in and tries to get it rezoned. And then it becomes something else. But everything is automatically defaulted to agricultural. That's not one of the other. As though you started with a blank sheet of paper. Everything's agricultural. And then you change from that to whatever. But everything else remains agricultural.
Can I say that in another way? If it's currently being taxed, assessed, residential, and we make it residential, we're not losing any tax by going from 19 to 12% on it. So if it's currently residential, it's residential, and if it's currently agricultural, it's agricultural.
I think that's a marvelous point there, sir.
The difference is, I think, and where Mr. Straffis is thinking, I think, if we have it zoned residential and you want to come in and split it up, you don't have to go before a board or anything like that. You know, if you want to make a subdivision and this is zoned residential, maybe 5 acres, and you're going to put in the sewer system and make something that's handled administratively. So in that sense, there could be a reduction. I was sitting here thinking, I thought I'd better put that out to you.
But still, as he said, if we look at tracts are out there that should be that, we can zone residential.
Sure.
And we talked about that way back in this process, that when we had the public hearings, the people, no, I want mine residential. I want to be able to do that. And then we talked about that, and I think we were pretty near in agreement on it. Mark?
Well, I had sat down for a minute for a rest. I didn't know how long I was going to be. But I want to go back to what Jim was talking about in regards to, you have this commercial property, and yes, everything looks pretty much commercial there, but then you have this mobile home sitting on a piece of property, and you're wondering how the appraisal will go, because that potential buyer that, there again, that's what I'm thinking about that part of it, because I know that's what I was looking at. You know, it's not 100% guaranteed that I can come in and make that commercial, even though most of the other stuff is. Yes, it should work out that way, but nothing's guaranteed. If that was a commercial zone, what's going to happen, which is going to help Bob, because Bob's saying, okay, we have these residentials that are going to drop down to agriculture, and then after Joe had mentioned that, it sounds like that could work out better. But in that situation, it's going to, those areas that look pretty much commercial, but because that mobile home sitting on that vacant lot, now that's going to become commercial. So really the taxes would go up in that area, or assessment would go up in that area. And it would also give those potential buyers the opportunity to come in and say, okay, I don't have, you know, I know that can have commercial in there.
OK.
Okay. I think we need to hang our hat on what Joe said some way. Do we need to reword this A1 any, or just leave it just like it is and take the acreage out of it, or
gentlemen,
what?
This is here for you to take apart. If you don't like this definition, let's get rid of the words in it we don't like and everything. Let's make it what we want it to be. But this is just a place for you to start picking and choosing what you want out of it and taking it apart. Go ahead.
I'd just like to ask a question. If we took the, for agricultural only, if we took the existing use, anything that's existing as an agricultural use presently, does that need to be refined in any way in order to come up with what we're going to do for agricultural? If there's any problems with it and it needs to be refined, as a general rule, if it is agricultural currently and needs to be agricultural in the future, is there a problem with that, or does it need to be refined?
May I, Mr. Chairman, like to throw something out?
Yes, sir.
If we go with existing use, let's say we have, because this primarily is set up for non-residential, correct, Eddie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if I had a 10-acre tract, a farmhouse on a 100-acre tract, and the existing use is residential, would it then be residential under these new zoning?
He would.
He would have to come back and rezone his property to agriculture.
Under existing use, if he would have a portion of that assessed as residential.
The house in the curtilage, he already does residential.
In accordance with our code book, it should be 2 acres of that set aside for the residents.
I guess let me define my question a little bit better. Are we creating extra work for the agricultural owners? And
why would they come in and get it downzoned to agriculture?
Because that's what they're using it for, but they also got zoned residential.
But in that direction, it's not relevant, the assessment. They can still be taxed or classified as agricultural by the assessor, even though they have available to them residential. Once they start to use it for residential, then they will be assessed residential. So they're fine, and they don't need to downzone it. They're just limiting what they can do with the property.
So let me ask you one last question, then I may drop my conversation. So is, I said may, I'm not saying I will, I just said may.
I wish everybody could see our facial experiences, because that's missing a lot.
So is the recommendation that I'm hearing that everyone's saying is take the acreage size out of it? Am I hearing it that, what I'm hearing is there's no acreage size.
Before I make that decision, could I have a 2-minute recess to think about it?
Let's recess for a couple minutes.
It may need some refining. That's the general idea.
Why would everybody want to be?